Welcome to our deep dive, yes, you could call it, into the Irish tech scene in 2024. We've been keeping an eye on things all year, articles, reports, all that, and even some of the AI stuff that's been going around.
Definitely been an interesting year, to say the least.
Yeah, so think of this as your cheat sheet to like figure out what happened, why it matters, and like what could happen next.
Yeah, and it has been quite a year. We've seen layoffs making headlines at the same time people are celebrating big funding rounds, massive leaps forward with AI, but then the rug gets pulled out from under startups.
It really has been a year of contradictions. It's got people wondering, is Irish tech on the way down or is it just growing pains? So we're going to walk through the whole crazy year step by step, unpack what happened, and try to make sense of what it means for Irish tech, both now and looking ahead.
Big question everyone wants to know is where does it all go from here?
Right. So let's set the stage. Remember how 2023 ended? Irish tech companies raised almost 2 billion euros total. It was a record. Everyone was so optimistic. It felt like Ireland was about to become a major player on the global tech stage.
Oh, yeah, everyone was hype. But then January 2024 hit, and it was like someone slammed on the brakes.
Literally.
Layoffs everywhere you looked. It
Yep.
started with Microsoft cutting 1,900 jobs.
Then eBay let go of 1,000 people. Google cut hundreds. Intel, too. It was brutal. I remember thinking, hold on, wasn't Ireland supposed to be this tech success story?
It did make you wonder, and it wasn't just the big names either. The Manpower Group survey from back in January, they predicted more layoffs than new hires in Irish tech for the whole year. Sadly, they were right. Even Stripe, the homegrown success, they cut 14% of their workforce globally, hit their Dublin office too.
Crazy, right? And it's really ironic. The Irish Times reported that 90% of IT and tech employers were still having trouble finding qualified people, even with all these layoffs happening. How does that even make sense?
Well, it shows you there's a disconnect between what skills companies need and what people actually have. It also makes you think that maybe some of those pandemic hires were rushed. Companies grew too fast and then had to scale back.
Makes sense when you put it like that.
Yeah.
Now, while all this was going on, Aircom was having a major meltdown. Total customer service nightmare.
Oh, yeah, Aircom.
Outages all the time, long wait times, complaints going unanswered, billing errors, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that kind of thing can really hurt Irish companies reputation-wise, makes investors nervous. It makes you question how reliable things are here.
Yeah.
If a big telecom company can't even keep the lights on, what does that say about the whole business environment?
Totally fair point. But it wasn't all doom and gloom. There were some bright spots, too. Silicon Republic did a piece celebrating 10 successful startups. Like GridBeyond, they raised 52 million euros.
Not too shabby.
Right. And Tech.eu put out their list of 10 Irish startups to watch in 2024. They had companies like Wayflyer, TechMet, Everseen.
The interesting thing is a lot of these successful startups are in niche areas, like fintech, health tech, deep tech.
So they're finding ways to thrive even when the overall tech landscape is shaky. Do you think these niche areas could become Ireland's sweet spot?
Possibly. Ireland does have a good track record in those specialized fields. Could be a good strategy, even if things are rocky globally.
Makes sense. All right, so moving on to February, this is where AI really starts to come into play. OpenAI seemed unfazed by all the economic drama. They kicked off the year by launching the ChatGPT store, basically a platform for developers to show off what they can do with AI.
It was like OpenAI saying, we're not just messing around in the lab anymore. We're bringing AI to the masses.
Right.
Then they released GPT-4o, multilingual, multimodal, mind-blowing.
I remember reading about that and thinking, this changes everything.
Yeah.
And they weren't done. They launched GPT-4o Mini 2, like a streamlined version for startups and developers who couldn't handle the full-blown GPT-4o.
Smart move. Makes powerful AI tools accessible to everyone. It was
Yeah.
like they were saying, hey, anyone can build the future with AI.
Yeah, and people definitely got building. But while OpenAI was pushing the boundaries of AI, Ireland was dealing with some big policy decisions. March saw the European Commission hosting the EIC summit in Brussels. Big focus on sustainability and deep tech, two areas where Ireland could really shine.
Definitely. And not long after, the Irish government released their Digital for Care framework.
Yeah, that was a big one. Their vision for how healthcare in Ireland can be transformed through digital technology. The idea was to make healthcare more patient-centered and innovative, and to use data to improve services. It felt like a step in the right direction, especially with the population aging and healthcare resources getting stretched thinner.
Showed that the government was thinking long term, even with all the chaos happening in the tech sector.
Right. But then came November. The government dropped a bombshell. They announced they were closing the NDRC, the National Digital Research Center.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a shock to everyone. The NDRC had been a lifeline for startups for over 20 years.
Huge blow to the ecosystem.
They provided funding mentorship connections, helped countless businesses get off the ground, created thousands of jobs.
And then poof, gone.
The tech community was furious. Over 200 founders signed an open letter begging the government to change their minds. Big names in the industry slammed the decision, calling it short-sighted and saying it would hurt Ireland's chances of becoming a tech powerhouse.
It did feel like a step backwards, especially since the government kept saying they wanted to build up homegrown Irish tech companies.
Exactly. It made you wonder if they really understood how important it is to support the tech sector. Especially now when everything's changing so fast.
No doubt about it. This is going to have ripple effects for years to come, especially for those early stage startups who relied on the NDRC.
It's a tough situation, and we're going to dig deeper into what it all means in the next part of our deep dive.
We'll also talk about how Ireland can navigate the challenges and opportunities of AI and what the government can do to create a thriving tech ecosystem, even with all the uncertainty in the world. Back again for more on the roller coaster that was Irish tech this year.
In part one, we went through a year of big contrasts. Record funding, and then layoffs. Huge AI advancements, but then they closed down the NDRC.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
So let's take a step back and look at the big picture. What do all these events tell us about what's really going on in Irish tech?
Right, because just knowing what happened doesn't give us the whole story. We need to figure out why things happen and what it means moving forward.
Okay, so let's start with those layoffs. Definitely a major theme of 2024. But was it just a bump in the road or a sign of something bigger changing?
I think it's probably a bit of both. The global economic slowdown definitely played a role. Tech companies all over the world were feeling the pinch, and Ireland being so connected to the global economy, well, it couldn't escape that.
True. But like we said before, it wasn't just outside forces. A lot of experts said those layoffs were a correction after the crazy growth during the pandemic.
Right. Companies hired way too many people. When growth slowed down, they had to adjust.
Like a pendulum swinging back after going too far in one direction.
Exactly. But the interesting thing is, those layoffs didn't hit every part of the tech industry equally.
Yeah, that's a good point. Certain types of tech jobs were hit harder than others, like anything related to e-commerce or digital marketing.
Yeah, people weren't spending as much money online, so those online ad revenues took a hit.
But on the other hand, jobs in things like cybersecurity, cloud, computing, data analytics, those stayed pretty stable. Shows there's still a huge demand for those specialized skills.
For sure.
So even if the overall tech sector has some ups and downs, there are going to be specific areas within tech that keep thriving.
Absolutely.
It also highlights how important it is to keep learning new skills, to stay ahead of the curve.
Couldn't agree more.
Now let's talk about the NDRC closure. That was a decision that left everyone in the tech community scratching their heads.
Yeah, a lot of anger and confusion.
Felt like a huge step in the wrong direction. Especially now when the government needs to be supporting innovation more than ever. So what do you think the long-term consequences of that decision are going to be?
Well, the immediate impact was that early-stage startups lost a ton of resources. The NDRC didn't just give them money. They provided mentorship networking opportunities, a supportive environment to get their feet wet.
Yeah, you can't really put a price tag on that kind of support. Especially for startups that are still just getting started.
Right. Those startups often don't have the experience, the connections, or the money to navigate the whole crazy world of launching a business. The NDRC was a bridge. Helped them go from an idea to an actual company.
So without the NDRC, what are these early stage startups supposed to do? Are there any other options?
There are a few things popping up. Private incubators, accelerator programs, angel investors trying to fill the gap.
Right.
But it's too early to say if that'll be enough to replace the NDRC.
It's a worrying situation. A strong startup ecosystem is crucial for innovation and economic growth. If those early stage companies can't get off the ground, it impacts the whole tech sector.
Absolutely. It's like taking the foundation out from under a building. The building might stay up for a little while, but it's not stable in the long run.
Okay, so we've talked about the challenges. Now let's talk about the opportunities. 2024 saw some amazing advances in AI, led by OpenAI, of course. We already talked about GPT-4o and GPT-4o Mini. But what do these advancements mean specifically for Ireland?
I see AI as both a challenge and an opportunity for Ireland. It has the potential to completely change industries, create whole new sectors of the economy. Imagine AI-powered healthcare solutions that personalize treatment plans, or educational tools that adapt to how each student learns best, even tourism experiences that are tailored to your specific interests.
Yeah, those are some exciting possibilities. But we've also seen technology disrupt industries and cause people to lose their jobs. How do we make sure AI benefits everyone in Ireland, not just a select few?
That's the million-euro question. And there's no easy answer. We need a multi-pronged approach. Start by investing in education and training programs that give people the skills they need to thrive in an AI-powered economy.
Right. It's not just about teaching people how to code. It's about teaching them how to think critically, be creative, solve problems, and adapt to a rapidly changing job market.
Exactly. We also need retraining programs for people whose jobs might be replaced by AI. Make sure they can transition to new roles.
Right. And we can't forget about the ethical implications of AI. We need to make sure it's developed and used in a way that's fair, transparent, and benefits everyone.
Absolutely. AI should be a tool that empowers people, not something that creates more inequality or makes existing social problems worse.
So if we zoom out and look at the big picture,
yeah,
what does this crazy year tell us about the state of Irish tech?
I think it shows a sector that's at a crossroads. On one hand, Ireland has built a solid reputation as a tech hub, attracting big global companies and fostering a lively startup scene.
But on the other hand, we're facing challenges. The global economic slowdown, the skills shortage, questionable decisions like closing the NDRC.
So the question is, what path will Irish tech choose? Will it double down on its strengths, embrace the opportunities of AI, and become a global leader in innovation? Or will it get complacent, lose its competitive edge, and fall behind other countries that are more aggressively going after technological advancement?
That's the question we're going to explore in the final part of our deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
We'll dig into the policy implications of this roller coaster year and talk about what steps Ireland can take to secure its future as a tech powerhouse.
We want your input too, so start thinking about what advice you would give to policymakers and tech leaders in Ireland.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into the wild ride that was Irish tech in 2024. We've analyzed the highs and lows, the challenges and the opportunities, and now it's time to talk about the future. Where does Irish tech go from here?
That's the question everyone's asking. We don't have a crystal ball or anything, but I think we can learn a lot from what happened this past year. Use that to figure out how to make the Irish tech sector more resilient and innovative going forward.
Right. So let's put on our strategic thinking hats. Imagine we're giving advice to the government and tech leaders in Ireland. What should they focus on to make sure Irish tech not only survives, but thrives in the years to come?
Well, the first thing we need to tackle is the skills shortage. It's been a problem for years, and it's only going to get worse as technology keeps advancing.
Yeah, we can't just keep complaining about it. We need to do something to build a pipeline of talent that can meet the demands of the future.
Exactly. We need a multi-pronged approach. Start by investing in STEM education at all levels, from primary school all the way to university. We need to make those subjects more engaging, more accessible, and more relevant to the real world.
Yeah. I love that. Instead of kids just memorizing formulas and theories, let's show them how these concepts can be used to solve real problems, how they connect to cool new technologies like AI and robotics, how they can lead to amazing careers in tech.
Right. Spark that curiosity early on. But it's not just about formal education either. We also need to make it easier for people to learn new skills and upgrade their existing skills throughout their careers. Those days of learning one thing and sticking with it for life are over. We need to embrace lifelong learning.
So what does that look like, practically speaking?
It means offering affordable and accessible training programs in areas like AI, cybersecurity, data analytics, cloud computing. It means giving people flexible learning options that fit into their busy lives, online courses, evening classes, weekend workshops, things like that.
And it means encouraging companies to invest in their employees' professional development. See, training is an investment, not an expense.
Exactly. Companies need to be proactive about upskilling their employees, not just wait for the government to do it for them. Having a workforce that's ready for the future is in their best interest.
Okay, so we've talked about education and skills, but what about supporting startups? Closing the NDRC was a big blow. It left a gap in the support system for those early stage companies. How do we fill that void?
We need a new wave of incubators and accelerators, places that can give startups the funding, mentorship, and connections they need to be successful. But these can't just be physical spaces. They need to be hubs of innovation, collaboration, and knowledge sharing.
I like the idea of creating a network of these hubs across the country, not just concentrated in Dublin. Spread the innovation and the economic benefits to all parts of Ireland.
Exactly. And we can't forget about attracting talent from overseas. Ireland has a long history of welcoming skilled workers from other countries. We need to make sure that continues.
It's not just about filling those immediate job openings. It's about bringing in new perspectives, fresh ideas, and a global mindset that can help Irish tech companies compete on the world stage.
For sure. We need to make the visa process smoother, make it easier for the families of skilled workers to find jobs, and create a welcoming environment where international talent feels valued and supported.
All right, now let's talk about AI. It has the potential to be a disruptive force, but also a transformative opportunity for Ireland. What can we do to make sure Ireland leads the AI revolution instead of getting left behind?
We need to invest big in AI research and development, create incentives for companies to develop and use AI solutions, and establish ethical guidelines for AI.
We need to be bold and responsible in our approach to AI, push the boundaries of innovation, but also address the potential risks. Make sure AI is used for good.
Right. We also need to educate the public about AI, help people understand it better, and address concerns about job displacement. AI shouldn't be seen as a threat. It's a tool that can enhance what humans can do and create new possibilities.
It's all about finding that balance between human ingenuity and artificial intelligence. Use the power of both to create a future that's more prosperous, more equitable, and more sustainable.
Exactly. And one last thing. We need to foster a culture of innovation across every part of society. Encourage people to take risks. See failure as a learning experience. Break down the barriers between government, industry, and academia.
Yeah, it's about creating an environment where ideas can flow freely, where collaboration is the norm, where people feel empowered to challenge the way things are and push the limits of what's possible.
If we can do all that, if we can cultivate that mindset of continuous learning, adaptation, and innovation, I think Ireland can not only survive the ups and downs of the global tech scene, but also become a shining example of ingenuity and progress in the years to come.
So there you have it, our roadmap for the future of Irish tech. It's ambitious, but I think it's achievable if we all work together and embrace the challenges and opportunities ahead.
It's time for Ireland to step up and claim its place as a global leader in the tech-driven world of the future.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Irish tech scene in 2024. We hope you found it informative, insightful, and maybe even a little bit inspiring. As always, we want to hear your thoughts. What are your ideas for the future of Irish tech? What advice would you give to policymakers and tech leaders?
Share your comments on social media and tag Analysis Cloud. We'd love to hear your perspectives.
Until next time, stay curious,
yeah.
Stay engaged, and keep innovating.